All right, good evening, everyone. It is Tuesday, February 8th, 2022 at 6 p.m. And this is a regular assembly meeting, City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assembly Member Patty Gilbert.
Hey, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Patty. Nice touch with the flag, as always. Ceremonial matters tonight. We have a update from our district ranger here in Wrangell. You're going to get a 10-minute update on what's going on in the forest. Clint, do you want to lead us through that, please? Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. How's my audio, Steve?
It's great. Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, this is a pretty aggressive agenda. I know we've had a couple of work sessions to try to catch up on this, but when I put this together, I realized there's more on here than I thought there would be. So I'll work my way through it. And if we need to schedule a work session, just let me know when I can be there to help out. So I've got eight topics to start with. The first one is the Southeast Alaska Sustainable Strategy and the investments. And I think the city is now aware that they were awarded two of their investments. The first one is the wild blueberry management, which fell under wild and cultural foods and food security. And that was a $100,000 potential investment from USDA. And the other one was a Wrangell area trail improvement for $103,000. Internally, I've been working with Tori Hauser and Adam Clawhatch to assign them to eventually work with the city to put together these agreements. And however, what we need from the city is a point of contact and someone assigned to this. And I'm going to assume that that might be Bob. And I also, before we get back to that, I know USDA is working to provide alternative solutions to the 20% match. So let's not get hung up in a discussion on that because that's an ongoing work. But for right now, I'm assigned as the point of contact for the Forest Service to help set up these meetings and agreements with the city. So until we work through that, I'd appreciate it if anyone on the council works through me and not my staff when seeking information on this this upcoming proposal. So I
maybe sorry, just one point of clarification. So are you looking for then a person? Because what I need to know is if you're looking for a person from the assembly, then I need to check with our clerk to see if that's an appointment and if that would be done through the mayoral appointment or if we would vote on it. So you should talk to Kim, just sort of clarification. And we won't assume that it's going to be somebody or you're going to make the appointment. Like, we'll work through the clerk on that one, okay?
Yep, that sounds great. I'll work with Kim. And it makes no difference to me who you put forward. It's just eventually we need a single point of contact or maybe two because there's two projects. So if they're so distinctly different that one person can't do them both, then two is fine. And Kim, I'll work with you. But in the meantime, if anyone on the assembly does have questions, please work through me and not my staff. Okay, district office here and personnel, and I alluded to this a little bit in our last report out. There's a lot of hiring going on, which is a 180 degree turn from where we've been the last decade. So briefly, we're currently looking to hire four positions. One is a GS9 fish biologist. The other one is a GS9 developed recreation specialist. And then two GS7 one's a wilderness ranger and the other one will be a forestry technician that will also be under recreation and can help provide some continuity with our NN workforce. So those two GS7s are permanent positions like the nines, but those are, they're not year-round permanent positions. They're 18 and 8, which means that they're 18 pay periods on and working with a tentative layoff of 8 pay periods per year. But along with that comes all the benefits of being a permanent full-time employee. So if you guys know of anyone, email me and let me know what we got going on, because this is an exciting time to be able to bring on these positions. We're also potentially going to be able to bring back our, we had two GS-11 civiculturists. One moved on and one retired. And I think we're looking at a opportunity to bring on that civiculture position as well. I didn't list it here because I don't have total confirmation, but I'm confident that's going to go forward as well. So Steve, I know you always express concerns about the viability of the district, and I always tell you, I hear you, but take a deep breath, and I can really honestly say, take a deep breath. We're actually trending in a really good direction right now. So I'm excited, and I hope you guys are too. It's not just good for the Forest Service, it's good for the city. I know recreation is on here. Toria's got so much stuff going on right now. I wasn't able to get an organized report. I could spend an hour just talking about what she has going on. Suffice to say, she's going to be extremely involved with the SAS work. She already is. And she's very involved with the hiring of the wilderness ranger and the forestry technician. And just for a little perspective, the Tongass in general is hiring 60 some positions this quarter alone. That's gigantic compared to where we've been in the past. And the only way we can get 60 positions through our HR system is by bundling them into one HR action. So when I say Tori's hiring a GS-7 wilderness ranger, she's actually the hiring manager for 7 wilderness rangers or rec techs across the entire forest. So while 2 of these will end up on our district, 5 other ones will end up on other districts. But Tori's heading up that entire process for the whole forest. So there's a lot on Tori's plate right now. So really good things for the district, especially from a personnel standpoint. And I'll drop this out there, not for discussion now. We have office space here, and I've reached out to ADF&G. They are tempo. They have this past fall, temporarily used some of our office space to house some of their folks to help during the moose hunting season. If the city is running into any of those similar issues as far as office space, call me. We've got options. There's things we can do to that, whether it's a temporary fix or maybe a potentially long-term fix. But just throwing that out there on your radar. I've meant to bring that up in the past, and it's not made my agenda. Okay, working into timber. This I think you're pretty familiar with. We have switched primarily to a young growth and restoration focused program. The old growth program now has a forest-wide target of 5 million board feet. The Wrangell Island sale is still part of that forest target, and we're working on putting forth a sale to be offered in the third fiscal quarter of this year of about 2.3 million board feet based on the Wrangell Island sale, which was completed before I got here. Okay, I'll take a breath. We're halfway through. Some new things going on project-wise. So I've initiated a new recreation cabin CE and a new recreation cabin EA. And briefly, to describe the difference between the two, we have been provided 2 new categorical exclusion CE authorities. One is for building new cabins. However, the caveat that goes along with that is that the new cabin needs to be at an existing recreation site. So there's already infrastructure at that location. The new cabin EA that I'm also beginning right now is to look at areas where there is no current infrastructure, where we want to potentially have NEPA shelf-ready areas, NEPA cleared shelf-ready areas, So as infrastructure money begins to come to the forest, which it's about to very soon, we've done our work, our planning work ahead of time, or as ahead of time as we possibly can, and that we have areas identified. Now, if this was a work session, I would go into details on how I want to run this, but briefly, that EA, I'm going to run simultaneously with a collaborative process, similar that I've done down south with Farm Bill CEs for small timber projects. And really what's going to drive that is going to be a very transparent collaborative process about what information was shared and what's feasible and possible to actually move forward in the NEPA. And just to be clear on the collaborative process, it's not required. I think it's the way NEPA should be done. And we can only have a collaborative process if people choose to engage. So we'll be doing a rather robust public outreach. I'm hoping that there's folks from the assembly who want to participate in the process with us. And I actually have quite a bit of experience with this, and it's a really fun an exciting way to get through a project. So be looking for that hopefully in the next month, if not sooner, as far as how we're gonna lay out that process and how folks can be can participate in it. The last thing I'll say about that is, in order to not violate any FACA regulations, that process is open to anybody who wants to participate. So even if there are folks who have not agreed with us and wanted to litigate us over other projects in the past, they're just as welcome to come on in and share the table with us as anybody else. So that's how it's a collaborative process and not a formal collaborative, if that makes sense to some people. So that's how we're going to be running forward with that. There's one other cabin decommissioning categorical exclusion. It's a new CE that was provided to us. And so to briefly cap off the whole cabin CE and cabin EA is that we have a Tongass cabin strategy. And the most important part that we need to remember right now is that it's basically built on the premise of no net loss. So for every new cabin we identify in this EA, or new cabin location, remember, we will eventually need to be decommissioning an old cabin somewhere else in order to replace it with a new cabin. And the new cabins, the CE is going to, or the EA is going to be focused on things we've already, input we've already received from the public as far as the desire to have more cabins on a road system, or relatively easily accessible by SCIF. So that's where we're concentrating. That's where the trends are going right now. So there's a lot of nuances and a lot of more discussion to have in there, a lot more discussion. So I encourage folks, if you're interested, when you get that notification, please sign up and help participate and guide us in where we go with that EA. Okay. Resource Advisory Committee. Kim, I was going to attach a more detailed list, and I will send that out tomorrow to you to share with the assembly. Forgive me for not getting it in ahead of time, but we've approved approximately $517,000 in recommended funding for 11 projects across Wrangell, Petersburg, and Cake. And I'll get that information to you tomorrow. But that's exciting. And I think we all know by now that our RAC committees are going to change a little bit, and we don't need to go into details right now, but the Tongass is going to go to two. There's going to be a Northern RAC and a Southern RAC. And everything should continue to operate in a very similar manner. And there's probably a bunch of questions about that. But again, if we want to schedule a work session, we can dig into the details at that time. It's not a bad thing. It's just a little different. The outcomes shouldn't change. Just a little bit of the process. That's all. Okay, moving on to number seven. So I got two left. So this one's pretty exciting as well. I have it listed as abandoned vehicles on Forest Service administered land, but it's really a restoration project at Roosevelt Harbor. And the vehicles that are in place there are really a byproduct, or what's going to happen to those vehicles is a byproduct of this project. So if you think beyond the vehicles being in place, the drainage at Roosevelt Harbor is not what it used to be or not what it should be. If you go way back, that used to be a Forest Service administration site for a timber camp, and there were actually structures there. And now it's basically an overgrown parking lot. So if I look a little bit at my notes, and I'm trying to just talk to you and not read to them, I think we're there, Steve, is the short story. I submitted the project proposal for approval of the regional forester today. We have the funding. The funding's coming from the Frenchie timber sale, which was a stewardship sale. And we ended up with the district with approximately $400,000 of retained receipts that we can use for restoration type projects. There's a whole handbook around stewardship restoration projects. Water quality is the very first one. And this one, in my opinion, meets that number one category very clearly. Our hydrologist, Heath Whitaker, over in Petersburg, did the project description, basically the purpose and the need. And so the proposal's done. It's moving up for regional forester signature. Funding is in place. The NEPA was completed a month ago through the new Tongass Small NEPA process. And it's ready for submittal into contracting. And our contracting, very briefly, we have spring dates for when projects need to be submitted in the contracting. We're plenty ahead of when the date is. So right now, everything is in place. And the only detail I'm gonna go into is what the heck do we do with all the working vehicles. And starting next month, I'll reach out to you guys, probably in a work session, and we're gonna provide a parking area over in Deep Bay. And the public is gonna have, like, this is theoretical and for the moment until the contract is set, but the public is probably gonna have up until about June 1st to move their vehicles over to Deep Bay. And in the process, they're letting us know who's responsible for each vehicle. Theoretically, if the contract is let, and there's going to be two contracts, one for removal of any material that's in the way, and then the second contract for the actual groundwork to reestablish grade and drainage and the catchment pond. Anything that's not moved by June 1st is going to get hauled away. No cost to anyone. It's a little bit of a get out of jail free card because I don't care about that right now. I just want everything removed from the site. So starting next month, we're going to embark on a public engagement session, which we already started a year and a half ago. So it's not new to any of you. It's not new to the public. It's just that we're going to regenerate it. We'll do it through the radio. We'll do it through the newspaper. We'll do it through signage. We'll do it through your Facebook page, and we'll do it through the Wrangell Facebook page. So that's one key step. But in essence, that's the plan. And I'm excited about it. There's plenty of things that can get in the way and potentially go wrong, but we still have to start, and we'll figure those hurdles out as they come. So that's all laid out here, a little bit of tentative schedule. And the last thing, as far as the MV Chugach goes, the interpretive plan, I said it's funded and in progress, and I didn't get a chance to make an update to this. A draft is very near to being done, and that will be coming out for you guys to comment and work on. I know they're working with Cindy and Carol on that. The lease agreement, I just want to spend a second on that. We're clear to do a lease, and I think you all know by now, if the Forest Service is able to lease that postage stamp then we can use funding for a more permanent structure. So the whole thing about the tent or whatever you want to call it doesn't apply anymore. So we just need to complete the lease. It's my I have not been contacted by Cindy or Carol Rushmore about the lease in a while, but apparently they are working with our leasing agreement folks out of Region 6 down in Oregon or Washington. But I think they've gotten a little hung up in details as far as who's going to do what maintenance and when. And I want to clarify that that should not be in the lease. The lease should just be about the ground and about the money and the time. Who does what should be details that go into the new MOU that we're working on with in collaboration with the city. So the memorandum of understanding is going to dictate, okay, during these times, the city is going to do this, or the museum is going to do this. During the winter, the Forest Service is going to do that. If we try to put that into a lease, we're complicating something that we're trying to pound a square peg into a round hole. So I just want to get that out there so that we can get that lease done, because the lease has been a huge hang up for years. And now that we've gotten over that hurdle, I don't want to belabor it. I want to get it done. And the devil in the details can be in the memorandum of understanding.
Hey, Clint, I need you to wrap her up.
I'm done.
Okay. Great. Sounds like we have a fair amount of things that we're going to need to discuss in a work session. So I'm going to get you to work with Kim, and we'll go through and discuss the items that we need to be updated on further in a work session. I'll get you to get with Kim and discuss whether it's an appointment or how we're going to work forward getting some assembly members to assist on that one item. So thank you very much, Clint.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time tonight and the update. Thank you. All right. With that, we will call the roll, please, Kim.
Yes, Assembly Member Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe.
Here.
Temple.
Kim, can you speak up a little if you're calling my name? I'm here.
Yep, Dalrymple. Okay, thank you. David Powell, the board.
Here.
Mayor Pasanka.
Yes, I'm here as well. Item three, person to be heard, section WMC 3.05.040C states that the chair may call to order any person who is breaching the peace or being disorderly by speaking without recognition, engaging in booing or catcalls, speaking vulgarities, name calling, personal attacks, or engaging in other conduct which is determined by the chair to be disruptive of the meeting. Any person so disrupting the meeting of the assembly may be removed or barred from further attendance at the meeting unless permission to return or remain is granted by the majority vote of the assembly. We do have one email correspondence in that's been put in the package for assembly members and the public to see. And Kim, is there anybody who wants to be heard tonight?
No, Mr. Mayor, I did not have anybody else sign up.
Thank you. Is anybody on the line right now that would like to be heard? You're not seeing or hearing anyone. We'll move on to item four, amendments to the agenda. Does anybody have an amendment to the agenda?
I do, Mayor.
Yeah.
I move to pull from the consent agenda item 6B, which is ordinance 1018, and item 6C, which is ordinance 1019, and place these items under new business as items 13A and 13B, respectively.
Okay, item 13. Okay, they would actually, would they not be 13C and 13D?
I, Mayor, respectfully, I think we probably should discuss it before we discuss items A and B.
Okay. Okay, so you want to make A and B, C and D. And
B and C, 6B, 6C. B like beta.
Yeah, no, I've got it. It's just saying that the new business currently A and B will become C and D. And so, yeah, go ahead, Kim.
So those items actually need to be moved under unfinished business. That's the appropriate order for them to be moved under unfinished business, under new business.
Even though they've never been brought up?
Yep, because they're on the agenda,
Okay.
So they're being down and so, and I mean, it's fine to do it under amendments to the agenda, but typically it would happen when the consent, but this is fine.
Okay, well, we're all new to this. So
no,
typically, so what Kim, what you're saying is that typically we would move this under the consent agenda, not under the amendments to the agenda, correct? And that they would go under, not under new business, but under unfinished business. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, so what I'm gonna do is we're gonna keep under new business. A and B will remain the same, which is going out to there. And then under new business, which is, or sorry, unfinished business, we're now taking B and C from the consent agenda and making that A and B, which is the old B and C. All right, I think I've got it, and we don't need to discuss that any further. Any member can make that move, and that is done. Anything else for anyone under amendments to the agenda? All right, I'm not hearing or seeing anything. Conflicts of interest. Does anybody have a conflict of interest on any item tonight?
Mr. Mayor, I think I have one.
Yeah, please go ahead, Mr. Board.
Section E of the consent agenda, the mental health trust land sale, that's the parcel directly behind my home, and I am disputing that negotiated sale.
Okay. Thank you. I would rule that you do, if you are in an active dispute of that, Assembly Member DeBoer, I would move that you do have a conflict, but I would also open it up to the Assembly if any Assembly Member would like to dispute that. Okay, so I would ask that you would recluse yourself from that item under consent. Does anybody want to bring that forward, bring it forward to be discussed? Otherwise, it's going to just move forward into the consent agenda. But thank you for bringing that forward as a conflict.
I do have a question on how to vote on the consent agenda with that one item removed.
Yeah.
How should that go?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jim. Let's go to our parliamentarian on that one. Kim?
Could be moved down as well.
Yeah, let's move it down. I would be more comfortable with that given that an assembly member has to remove himself. I am far more comfortable with that. So, yeah. So, assembly member, we're going to move that down to be discussed as well. And we will move that now down under unfinished business to item C. So, that is now going to be item E is going to unfinished business C is going to be item E. And that, and Kim, we're all good with that, how that went down just now? Okay, thank you. All right. I'm getting used to this, so thank you. Anything else under amendment or conflicts of interest? Sorry. I'm not hearing or seeing anything. All right, consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as adjusted.
Moved by Gilbert.
Second by Morrison.
Thank you, Ann. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Morrison.
Yes.
Ryan Howe.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Gilbert.
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka.
Yes. Item 7, Borough Manager's Report. Jeff, you're up.
Good evening, Mayor. Assembly members, just kind of want to go through real quick a couple things. So we're currently working on the goals with all departments. So over the next couple weeks, we'll kind of go through those and get those all lined up for kind of both our 1 year and our 3 year goals. We're working through our budget, and the timeline has been set by Mason, our finance director. So we'll be developing that over the next next couple of months as well, into June to get that done. But he's really set a nice timeline to get that accomplished. So I appreciate the work he's done for that. Our water treatment plant, just kind of an update on it. We're kind of working through right now. The design has been put forward, and we're working through the contract. It's in legal review right now, and that should be done no later than 18 February. But we got to go through the legal review on the contract first. And then last assembly meeting, I had talked about the electric vehicle charging program. So I did put that in the report as well. And basically kind of what is in there is it's just an opportunity for anyone in the community, whether that's someone with their own company, whether it's the borough or anyone else, it's just an opportunity to be able to apply for grants. And so what I did is I kind of reached back to the Alaska Energy Authority and just requested we be put on the rolls for just putting on that link between the road system that it would actually be on. So all it does is just give us the opportunity to do it if there's someone interested. It doesn't sign us up for anything. It just allows our community to be a part of it if there is interest. So any questions on that at all? All right. And then I also put in there, there's kind of...
I was muted. I do have a question on it.
Okay.
So I know as weird as it is, we are on a highway system as broken as it has been.
Right.
And EVs are, you know, they are going to become more and more popular. And a charging station on island, I know it seems, I'm just trying to think 10 years down the road here, that if there's an opportunity for us to develop a charging station that, you know, that someone can swipe a card and charge their EV who gets off of the ferry and does not have the ability to do. And perhaps it's not something that a private person might be interested in because everybody has a charging station in their home and it doesn't pay for itself, but it's something that allows people, you know, for tourism, that it makes sense for the community to support that. And we are a utility and it, you know, we sell power. So I just don't want to lose sight of this from the standpoint of that there's a lot of, you know, in the future there, you know, I just don't want us to sort of say, if somebody's interested in doing this, you know, look us up. I really want us to also sort of look down the road on it.
Well, and again, what I'm saying here is we have to be put on an actual corridor. And so it's got to be an approved road system corridor. And right now, the only one that is there is between Anchorage and Fairbanks. So that's the only approved corridor right now. What I requested is and one thing that the Alaska Energy Authority requested is if anyone else was interested to be put on the corridor, to let them know. So I let them know that we would like to be put on the corridor. So this gives us the opportunity in the future to be able to do that. So it's not really whether we do want to. This is just saying that put us on the corridor so that we then have the opportunity in the future to then apply for it. But it has to go through that process first before we can even do it. So we had to raise our hand and say, put us on there. So, okay. All right. So that was kind of that. So with the harbor, I just want to kind of touch on that a little bit. We did approve some cashless meters for our dock cranes. So we're going to go through and install those. So it'll make us easier to charge. And then it's not only going to be a card that you get beforehand and then have to put in. It's just basically a credit card and you can pay for it and we can bill the usage directly. Cleanup of the B will begin kind of this week and next week to get that done. So we'll get that one knocked out. And then I'm working with the harbor as well on trying to come up with some policy for derelict vessels and vehicles that are in the harbor. So we're trying to figure out what the best policy is to do that, how we do it. So we're kind of going through that right now and Steve's doing a great job of coming up with some alternatives on how we do that. So still trying to work through it, figure out what the best options are. And once we have an idea, we'll bring that before the assembly as far as requesting to get approval to come up with some ideas. And then some other items of interest, just kind of want to go over real quick. We have had some waterline breaks over the past month. And I just kind of went back, just going to want to make sure to see kind of how many we've had. And I think we're right around 5 waterline breaks this year. And it's mainly in our ductile iron pipes that were installed in the early 80s. Those do have a service life of right around 50 years. So we're kind of bumping up against that 50-year lifespan. So just kind of want to make the assembly aware that, you know, there's some infrastructure need on our water lines for some of our piping systems that were installed right around 42 years ago. So we're bumping up against that lifespan as far as what they're projected to be at. For our public safety building, we do have the cost estimates to replace in kind, and then also to the repair of the existing building. One thing I'm kind of looking at right now, we're looking to do, is to get a cost estimate for design of a new facility that is strictly to separate the police, the courthouse, the jail, and DMV into another facility, and then renovate the firehouse kind of where it's at. So we're working through that right now. And once we kind of have that, then I'll bring that back to the assembly for approval as well. But just that's kind of what we're thinking of as kind of the option. We just kind of want to see what that cost is and how it breaks out, just especially with how the grants are and some of the funding and how that's approved. It's easier when they're separated than being combined between the police and the firehouse. So I just want to see what the cost difference is between building in kind where it's at, or replacing in kind where it's at, and then separating out the two into two different facilities. Let's see. Police department is currently working on hiring another patrolman. So that's been put out there. So should hopefully in the next couple of weeks be able to start working through that. We're putting in out a solicitation for another mechanic for the garage in the coming weeks. Although I think depending on what we do with that, we may have to go back to the union just to update the actual job description to modernize it. I think the last time that job description was written was whenever you didn't have computers or have to have any kind of knowledge of some of the current technology we have. So we may want to update that. We'll bring it to the union first just to let them look at it before we bring it to the assembly for approval for you to look at the new job description. We're working through an RFQ for the camera systems on the harbor. So we're kind of developing that request for quote right now on the camera system. So once we have that, we'll let you know where we're at on it and bring you up to date. We didn't get anyone to bid for the appraisal on the old hospital. So we're probably going to have to try out and negotiate directly with one of the appraisers to actually get a cost estimate for what it's going to be to get the appraisal done. So we solicited it, no one bid on it. So now we may have to go do direct negotiation to get that done. I do have a pretty detailed update on the Baylor system for sanitation. It's in the report, but I also kind of want to talk a little bit about it just so that you don't have to go through and dig through. We've had some pretty big issues over the past couple of months with our Baylor system. Part of the issue is the sensors that are located on the Baylor itself. If they're bumped or if they get moved at all, you basically have to go through and reset the system. We did that. It's supposed to be able to communicate back to the manufacturer so they can actually go through and troubleshoot. We weren't able to do that. For some reason, it wasn't talking back through our system to them so they could actually see what was going on. We did bring them out. They took a look at it. There was one sensor that we didn't know about. We couldn't see that was causing some of the issues, but there for a time, we were literally having to manually operate it, which is about a three-person job when you have to manually operate it, because all the safety controls and where you have everything, you have to basically kind of step that through. And then even on the banding, it's banding one at a time, then you have to bump it forward, you band it again. So it's, without it being an automated mode, it's a 2 to 3 person job, and it's really slow and tedious to do that. So some big kudos to the guys to be able to work through that process. We did get the tech rep out, so they found one of the sensors that they didn't know was there. They got it aligned, found out some things with the baler, or actually the bander, that actually bands the bells together as far as it was getting kind of hung up. So we had our guys manufacture a little piece and part that would actually make it flow smoother. And one other thing that they kind of noticed is just with our conditions here with the salt air, it was starting to get a little bit of film and rust on it, which then also kind of caused some problems. So we just understanding that now and kind of where we're at, I think we're in a better spot. We're also trying to get the internet hooked up in a different way so they'll actually be able to communicate. But a lot of issues this past month with the Baylor. And then for our goals, one thing I would like to do is if we could move the goals to the economic goals for the community with the stakeholders. And then I'd like to push that back after the budget cycle, if we could. So that's kind of what I'd like to do, just to kind of move forward with it. So it's more of an economic goals as we're moving forward. And then kind of after the budget cycle, after we've already kind of gone through this process. So that's kind of what I'd like to push for and moving forward. And those are really the big issues I had for, or the, most of the talking points I had for my report. If there's any questions.
Questions for Jeff. Assemblymember Gilbert.
Yes. A few weeks ago, we found out about the internal wiring problems of the light and power plant. It could only handle, I guess, a maximum of 8 megawatts, and it would not service a 12 megawatt load. What's the status of that, and what have we done about that?
So we're actually working with the contractor to try to bring them in, because we're going to have to get designers in to actually build out a scope of work for that. So we're working with them right now to be able to bring them back in, develop a scope of work and a cost estimate to see what that's going to be to develop that scope of work. And then also a cost estimate to see what the repairs are going to be. So we're working with EPS right now to see if we can get them back. And they're already coming back to do some of the installs on number 5. So if we can kind of combine it while they're out here, at least to try to give us an idea what that's going to be. I think that'll save us some money doing that moving forward. But we definitely need to still develop that project and understand what that total scope of work is and what the cost is going to be.
And then just to follow up, that building is not very stable. Would the design be incorporated such that you could take into account maybe construction of that building and we wouldn't have to rewire it?
So another project we are looking at is for, and whether we combine the two together or how we do it, but we are looking at that total complex over there and how it's currently arranged. And then also some of the grant funding that may be out there to go after that, especially on the resilient side for our energy network. So I'm working with Amber on that as well as Rod to kind of go through and see, and then also Tom as well, because it's going to impact that entire complex over there if we start trying to do anything, because we will need to keep that building kind of online while we do, you know, while we install new generator. Like if we have to redo the building and do anything with the generators, we're probably gonna have to move it maybe into a new building. So, and the building itself is well beyond its life as well. It's got a lot of issues structurally that we need to do something with. So we're trying to get an idea of a bigger project, and then also look at what grants are out there right now from a resiliency standpoint to be able to go after. So I've been working with Amber and Tom and Rod on that to kind of get an idea, because it's going to impact Public Works, Light and Power, everyone over there, and capital projects. It's going to impact everyone over there.
Thank you.
Other questions for Jeff? Oh, sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
I did have one more thing that I forgot to mention earlier that just came up. We did get a report from DEC for our underground storage tank, fuel storage tank for our police, the elementary school and the high school. And basically it was, we're in violation. They told us we can no longer accept fuel to those tanks until we get deficiencies corrected. Amber is working with them for a 30-day, like a 30-day extension of that, with possible, depending on how we progress moving forward with what we do as a solution to it. But we could get a 30-day extension. That's what we're working on now. We have to just verify that we have insurance on it, and we're either that or we're self-insured. So she's working through that right now. I don't really have a good update as far as where we're at, but those are going to be some big ticket, not huge ticket items, but those are going to be issues for those 3 tanks that we're going to have to address in the real near future.
Okay, other questions for Jeff?